I'm trying to get if what Mr. Salmon, is Mr. Mathonsi on the line?
Chairperson, you did indicate to me that he might have load shedding, but and I don't see him. I don't, he's busy. He's just about to phone me. I guess he must be having load shedding. Chairperson, we are on time and there are enough members, so you can proceed. I'll speak to Eddie now.
Okay, we have enough members.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Salmon and Mr. Mathonsi. Mr. Mathonsi seems to have a connection problem. We are also struggling with the load shedding and the network is terrible bad. We are welcoming members, honorable members, to this important meeting. We are welcoming the commissioners of the IEC and the executive, the Parliamentary Legal Service and the state law advisors, the DHA, the Minister DM, the DG and the council. We are going to, as we resolved in our last meeting, to interact with the A-list that will reflect the areas that were submitted and deliberated on in our last two committee meetings after the written submissions. And we're going to just to focus on that. We'll recall that we have dealt with the entire A-list and adoption.
Recording in progress.
Was carried, and there were issues that were to deal with in terms of the processing the A-list. So the meeting last week did resolve on all the issues that were before the portfolio committee. And we've then awaiting for the A-list to be presented on key areas which they were outstanding for the adoption and for members to make comments. We have then shifted the meeting, as you know, that we were supposed to start in the morning, because the parliamentary service has to finalize the A list so that they don't come to the meeting with not completed A list and don't know what to give that time. And I think I must appreciate honorable members for having considered to spend these few hours this afternoon and all the team, the IEC, the state law advisor, for us to able to complete this process. Our anticipation is that by at least next week, we could have adopted the report that will be presented before the National Assembly and allow the NCOP to start with their process. I must also indicate that we have noted submissions from members who are struggling with the network, and we're supposed to be on video, but because of the network, but what is important is the deliberation on the issues so that we're able to complete the process. I'm going to allow the Mr. Mathonsi or Mr. Salmon to run on apologies and give indication of members who I've acknowledged as a standard, if there's any apology or not that they want to present. There was an issue of a refresh, which we have requested that we'll start with it in our last committee meeting. But we thought that it may be important that we begin with the presentation of the A list, and then we come with that refresh of the IEC. The point that was raised by Honorable Ross, and we thought the IEC was kind to then just give an indication of the refresh and the issues that were raised. I'm sure Mr. Mathonsi, I'm online in order in terms of the process that we're going to engage on. Are you back, Mr. Mathonsi?
Yes, Chairperson. Yeah. I'm sorry, I've got a network problem as well. I've got an apology from Ms. Van der Merwe and also the Deputy Minister for Affairs, And then I'm sure there is an apology from the minister as well.
Okay. Let me ask it, Mr. Matonzi.
Then, in terms of the membership, in order to make it, we need to have 6 members. So far, we have got 7 members. So we have got
Chairperson. Okay. Let me ask it, Mr. Matonzi. Mr. Matonzi, what you will do if you have a matter? Drop it with Mr. Salmon. You will then brief the committee because you are struggling with the network. I've noted that there's an apology from
yes, Chair.
I'm trying to read your refresh your apologies. You have an apology from Honorable Van der Merwe that must be recorded. Mr. Salmon, if you can call Mr. Matonzi so that we're assisting him, otherwise, we'll disrupt the proceedings.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, and then we have an apology from Deputy Minister. Can I invite the Minister if there's an apology to be rendered? DG, is there any other matter? Okay. Anyone from Home Affairs representing the minister? Okay.
Chairperson, okay. It's Mozi PLO here. Both the DG and the minister are not online, and I will then have to apologize on their behalf, but I'm expecting DG to join us. And we do have Home Affairs legal services on the platform, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for that indication. Can I invite Mr. Njikela? Okay, Parliamentary Legal Service.
Good afternoon to the members and colleagues. Chairperson, as you will know, today is the day for the presentation of the A list based on the decision that the committee took on Tuesday. The presentation will be done by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, Soraya Williams and Sarah Govender. They will be followed by the IEC in respect of Schedule 1A. And of course, Chairperson, there is another issue that you put on the agenda, which I think the IEC will deal with. But that's how we intend to deal with the A-list today. Then after okay. that, we can deal with the questions, Chairperson.
Okay. There's that indication that the Parliamentary Legal Service are in attendance. Can I check with the Deputy Commissioner Laff?
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honourable members. Chairperson, I'm with Commissioners Masuku and Mwepia, and also the CEO has the team from the executive, and as has already been indicated, we will present at various stages as you call on us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleagues. I think we must start. All apologies been recorded, noted. I will invite as Mr. Njikela, in terms of how you have agreed with the State Law Advisor and the IEC, I will invite the State Law Advisor to run the presentation of the A-list. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
My name is Suraya Williams, and I'm from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. I'm with my colleague, Ms. Sada Govender, and she will be presenting the A-list, as you've indicated earlier on, the changes that the committee last requested. So my colleague, Sada Govender, will be presenting that. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, as well as all others present on the platform this afternoon. Chairperson, I will obviously be switching my camera off for the presentation, but Chairperson, if I may receive an indication from yourself in the committee, if you would prefer that in presenting the A-list, if you would prefer us to present just those items that were included as a result of the previous meeting and the meeting before that deliberations, or would you prefer would the committee prefer if we present the entire A-list and highlight those items which have in fact been included as a result of the previous meeting? If we can just get that indication, Chairperson, so I would know how to proceed. Sorry, Chairperson, I did not seem to hear anything. I don't know if we lost connection.
No, I'm online. We're waiting for your presentation.
Okay, Chairperson, sorry, I'm not sure. I did not get, it did not come through. I'm not sure if we're also having connection problems. I requested if the Chairperson could just clarify, should we just go through those items that have now been put into the A-list as a result of the deliberations from the previous two meetings? Or should I go through the entire A-list and just highlight those matters that have been included subsequent to the last two meetings?
I think members perhaps may guide, but the approach which may be assisting, because we've dealt with the before we requested an extension on particular issues, we've dealt with some of the issues, so it may be advisable to focus on those issues which we've resolved on in the last committee meeting without going to the entire A-list, because we've already benefited and the committee has adopted on some of the issues. That I think that will assist for the process to move. Unless a member with a different view on the approach which I'm trying to persuade the meeting to adopt. Can I get an indication if there's
Chairperson? Different...
Yes, Honorable Play?
Chair, no, I don't have a differing view. I support that proposal. It's actually also going to assist, particularly in time. Let's deal with those items that we need to deal with. Thank you.
Okay. Can I check seconder to the proposal with tables?
Chairperson, I'd second that, Honorable Ruff.
Thank you. I think the committee, that is the approach we're going to take. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we proceed to page 2 of the A-list. Thank you. Okay, clause 1.1 on page 2 from line 8 to substitute the definition of candidate with the following definition. Chairperson, here before I proceed, the committee will recall that at the last meeting it was agreed that the definition of candidate will be included in the A-list and independent candidate. And we will include citizen. However, Chairperson, the committee will note that with regard to candidate, we have included candidate means a South African citizen contesting an election or a South African citizen nominated on a list of a party contesting an election as the context requires. We would just like to bring to the attention of the committee the fact that South African has been included within the definition of candidate and independent candidate. And this is done to bring the wording of the bill in line with the wording of the Principal Act, which actually uses South African citizen, for example, when defining what a voter actually is. So that was for the definition of candidate, South African citizen has been included. on point two, on page two from line 17, to substitute the definition of independent candidate with the following definition. Independent candidate means a South African citizen contesting an election and who is not nominated on a list of a party. And then the second matter, which is now included in the A list as a result of the decisions at the previous meeting. If we could go to page five, please. Thank you. Point three. On page four, on page four, to omit line 6 to 9, yeah, and to substitute with a completed prescribed form confirming that the candidate has submitted in the prescribed manner the names, identity numbers, and signatures of voters whose names appear on the segment of the voter's roll for that region or province in which the candidate is standing for election and who support his or her candidature, totaling at least 20% of the quota for a seat that was required for a seat in the previous comparable election. Chairperson, the committee will recall that the 20% is what was decided at the last committee meeting. And just a consequential amendment on page 12 of the A list. Just at the top of the page on page 12. Thank you. Point three on that page, on page seven, in line 22, to omit A and G. The committee will note that on the previous A list, A had been omitted. A was originally removed from section 31C of the bill, of clause 31C of the bill. And as a result of that, it had to consequently be removed from this specific part in the bill. So on page seven in line 22 to omit A and G, and then point five as well on page seven in line 27 to omit A and G. And this is with respect to clause 10 of the bill. Chairperson, those were the only matters that were included in this A list, which are different from the previous version of the A list. All the other matters have indeed remained the same. Subject to obviously Schedule 1A. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are you done?
Yes, Chairperson. We are done with the amendments at the rules.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much, members. These issues that were considered by the committee in our last committee meeting. I will invite the IEC to present the Schedule 1A. Deputy Commissioner Love, you will then delegate. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. The CEO will lead on our presentation with regard to the schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair of the Portfolio Committee, Dr. Chabane, and Vice Chair. I unfortunately have to delegate further down to Ndati Shibori, who will take us through the schedule.
Thank you, CEO Ndati Shibori.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Matwansi, we can manipulate, I think. No, can you give us sharing rights? Or whoever is navigating, could you go please to item 5D? And as they do so, Chair, let me just preface the input as follows. The submissions that we're making are not new proposals. They are in keeping with the decisions of the committee. And in some instances, it had become necessary to refine the drafting so that it gives effect to the intent of what the committee intended to achieve with certain clauses. The first clause, Chair, we are refining item 5D to clarify the seat calculation in respect of seats that remain unawarded. So what we're making clear is that the recalculation happens because there are seats that have not been allocated in the first round. And how they are allocated on the basis that independents and party list will compete on the basis of highest surplus, and whoever comes close to the quota is then awarded a seat. Nothing substantively that has changed. The next change, Chair, is again in item 5F. Here we clarify the forfeiture calculation in circumstances where an independent has won more than one seat. We know the decision of the committee is that an independent may not hold more than one seat. So this deals with the mechanics of, in the event that an independent stands to be awarded more than a single seat, how do you deal with the recalculation of that and linking it to item 7, which is the forfeiture clause. The next refinement, Chair, is in item 5G. Here we're removing possible drafting confusion that may create an impression that an independent may be elected to more than one seat. So we've changed the wording to make it clear that an independent may only hold one seat and that any other seat in excess will be forfeited. Could you please go to item 6C? Thank you. This is a consequential amendment that we're making from the clarification in the forfeiture clause in the previous sentence. Can we now go to item 7? And there we're going to 7, 2A and 2B. Sub-item 2A and 2B. Again here, Chair, we are clarifying the wording in 7, 2A and 2B to procure more clarity and certainty that because as it stands, that provision could have been interpreted in a number of multiple ways. And it could have led to interpretations that were at odds with what the portfolio committee has decided. The decision of the portfolio committee is that an individual or independent may contest a seat in the National Assembly from one or more regions, but they can only be elected through a single seat. So we're removing words that were open to multiple interpretation to give effect to that formulation. The next item, Chair, if you could go to item 21, I and J, no, item 21. Item 21 is a consequence of the new inclusion in the A list in section 31, capital A. And what it seeks to do is to bring parity in the manner in which we treat candidates so that we have equity of treatment among candidates. As the bill stands, it provides a mechanism for a candidate elected on a party list to indicate which seat they will hold in the event that they win a seat in a provincial legislature and a seat in the National Assembly. There is, however, no corresponding provision for an independent who wins a seat in a legislature and again wins a seat in the National Assembly. This is distinct from what the committee decided and that is carried in the bill, that there is no choice for an independent. That is correct in the context where a candidate wins more than one seat in a single region or wins more than one seat in multiple regions. There, we do not offer them an option. We default them to a seat with which they have won with the most votes. That is so because that is a single election. In the current instance, what you're talking about are two different elections, even though they are contested on a single day. One is an election in a province for a seat in the legislature. The other is an election in a region for a seat in the National Assembly. So if a candidate stands to be elected to both seats, we will give them a period of 2 days to indicate which seat and which legislative assembly they elect to occupy a seat in, and we will then allocate them a seat in that assembly and do a forfeiture recalculation where they have not taken up a seat. In the event that an independent fails to give notice of which seat they are occupying, the phrasing proposes that they are not assigned to any of those seats. This is consistent with what applies to political parties if they fail to indicate which seat a candidate should occupy if they win more than one seat in different legislative assemblies. Chair, that concludes the extent of the refinements that we have effected in schedule 1A. And I just mentioned that these have been canvassed with parliamentary legal services, and we are in agreement as it relates to the drafting. The last refinement, Chair, is that we have removed one item from 7.2c because we are agreed that it is better located as a new item 5K. And that 5K makes it clear that a candidate, we've removed it from 7.2c and made it a new item 5K. And it provides that, where an independent candidate is contesting in more than one region, the votes received across regions for that independent candidate may not be aggregated in order to obtain a seat in the National Assembly. So we're clarifying the decision of the committee that while an independent candidate may contest in multiple seats, they cannot aggregate votes across regions to acquire a single seat in the National Assembly. That concludes the refinements, Chair, as it relates to Schedule 1A. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Shiburi and the Deputy Commissioner Laff. This is a presentation of the A list members.
Chair,
that's the Chabal. Yes, Mr. Shiburi? Mr. Shiburi?
Yes. No, it's Mama Polo. I don't know how you want to deal with this. Remember, there was a request that was made for us to take the committee through the actual calculations. We're ready to do those. Perhaps you want to deal with the A-list first or take us now. I'm not sure, Chair. We are in your hands.
Okay. Let me get from members how we... but I don't think members have an issue to deal with the refresh of the A-list. Then we would then engage on the issues at once. I'm sure there's no different views, members, on the process.
No, we support your view, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mamawulu, for that intervention. The IEC can proceed with that presentation. Okay, we can proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. We are going to deal with the calculation, the practical calculation
I think the CEO is inadvertently muted.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Mr. Mamabolo?
Yes, Chair, thanks. I'm here. But these are the things that we're going to deal with. And may I upfront beg your indulgence, because some of the issues that I'm going to address are issues that have already been conversed with the committee. But I think in order to satisfy the request of the committee, it has become necessary perhaps to be repetitive. So we'll deal with the normative constitutional standard, we'll deal with the conception of proportionality and the claims of distortion. And then lastly, we'll go through a few examples of the seat calculation, the application as we currently have it in the bill. Chair, you can still hear me, I suppose.
Yes, CEO, we can hear you.
Okay, thanks. Now, in terms of the seat calculation, in Schedule 1A, it takes from Section 46 and 105 of the Constitution, which indicates that an electoral system must, in general, result in a proportional representation. Now, studies to electoral systems generally agree that a perfect proportionality, which means an electoral system where each party receives the exactly same share of seats it received of the votes, is unattainable. It's an ideal, but a perfect proportion is an impossibility, because there are many factors that influence the outcome of an election. So proportionality is a desire, it's an ideal to which proportional systems are geared towards, but there has to be an acceptance that a perfect proportionality is somewhat not attainable. So this is very important. So it follows logically that some deviation from perfect proportionality, in other words, disproportion, is unavoidable. This is precisely the reason the drafters of the Constitution don't use the words proportional representation. They use the wording in general, in proportional representation, because they are alive to the reality that a perfect proportion is somewhat illusionary. Now, there are three factors that influence the proportionality of an electoral system. The first is the electoral threshold. which refers to the minimum share of votes in percentage that a party or candidate must win to obtain a seat in an election. Now, I'll come to that. And the district magnitude, in other words, the number of candidates to be elected in any for any legislature or a legislative assembly. And lastly, the electoral formula, that is the mathematical equation that determines how votes are translated into parliament. Now, our discourse in the portfolio committee tended to concentrate on that last factor. But be that as it may, overall proportionality of an electoral system increases with a decrease in the electoral thresholds. Now, in Schedule 1A, as it stands, and as it has stood historically since 1994, there's never been an electoral threshold introduced. So we don't even have to decrease it because it doesn't exist. For as long as you meet the quota of votes, you get a seat, irrespective of what your overall percentage is. Two, the proportionality of an electoral system increases with an increase in the average district magnitude. Now, our parliament, both houses, in fact, let's just deal with the National Assembly for now. It's a significantly sizable legislature at 400. It's not 200, it's not 150. It's a whopping 400. So there's a huge district magnitude at that level. And lastly, improvements in the proportionality of the electoral formula. Now, the refinements that that were made through this process, are intended to improve the electoral formula. But the electoral formula is only a component of, is not the totality of. Now, across all three factors, South Africa's electoral system is ranked among the most proportional in the world. And we're saying amongst, we're not saying is the most, but it's there with many other systems that are proportional. Now, even with the inclusion of independent candidates, care has been taken to retain the proportional character of the electoral system. And we've done so precisely because of the constitutional imperative in Section 46 and 105 of the Constitution. And the Section 1A, as we currently have, provides that 400 seats of them will be contested on the basis of 200 national compensatory seats and 200 regional seats, and the Commission will obviously distribute the 200. Now, proof is used as a method for determining the quota of votes to obtain a seat. And DROOP is considered one of the most proportionate formulas, together with HER. So we've not deviated from that. We remain loyal to that system of calculation. Independents may only be elected to a single seat. That's the principle that this committee over and over again emphasized. So as a consequence, there's a seat forfeiture and recalculation method to award surplus seats. Now, without going into the details of the submission that was made by Dr. Atkins. Our view is that the examples that he's presented are based on extreme cases that generate the claim defects. And we say this because over the past 25 years, none of those cases obtained. But however, we accept that those cases, extreme as they may be, they are a mathematical possibility. They are rare, they're going to be rare, but they are a mathematical possibility. And to a large extent, those that can be ameliorated, we've ameliorated. For instance, in the recalculation during a vacancy recalculation, we have introduced a item that says any person who held a seat before the vacancy arose, they retained their seat, which is one of the points that Dr. Atkins had raised. So that one is ameliorated. Now, if we don't know, and no one actually knows the probability of the scenarios that Dr. Atkins presents. We don't know. Will it happen one every 20,000 times? Will it happen once every 5 times? No one can answer that through Samsaki. The only way in which to scientifically answer that question of probability is to do what we call the Monte Carlo simulations, which will include the writing of a software program and running repeated random sampling to obtain and then analyzing what the probability is. That's the only scientific approach to test probability. That's really where we are about answering the question of probability. Now, Chair, let's go into the regional calculation scenario with independents gaining more than one seat. Independent 5, you'll see there having that independent out of 4.5 million votes got 175,000 votes. Applying the Drupp formula, and the quota there is 92601. In other words, 92,601. That's your Drupp quota. That independent 5 gets a seat in the first allocation, but there are 3 additional seats that must be allocated, and their remainder is 82,000. They get an extra seat. So their provisional allocation is 2. But this is a provisional allocation. And in terms of the decision of the committee, a recalculation, a forfeiture recalculation now has to happen. And we go to the next table. That's the forfeiture calculation, which is a result of independent 5 gaining more than one seat. So we have said that we have to exclude that independent 5 from the recalculation, hence that has been grayed out. and then they retain their one seat. And we repeat the same calculation for consistency, except that on this occasion, we exclude the votes of independent number five. Now, the effect of the recalculation
Yes, CEO.
Sorry about that, Chair. So in that recalculation, hi, Chair, are you still with me? In that recalculation, Chair, the independent five is excluded, their votes are excluded in the recalculation. Now, as the draft stands, and which is an issue that Shiburu was trying to deal with.
CEO. Were you pausing or it was? Yes, I'm saying you did pause or it was a network or you're proceeding so that where?
It was a network, Chair. Sorry about that. So, Chair, you'll see that independent number seven is also excluded on the current formulation. It's excluded from the calculation.
Mama, we keep. Mr. Mamabulum?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
I think the chair is having network.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Mr. Mamabulu, we can proceed. I can hear you. I'm listening.
Okay, Chair. Thank you very much. Thanks, members. So we're saying, as the current draft stands, independent seven is also excluded. Any independent that has received a seat is also excluded from that forfeiture calculation. Our view is that they should be included in the forfeiture calculation because they are now independent seven is now buying a seat with 45,000 when the quota is in fact 92,000. And there's a party that has far more than those number of seats. So I think it's an inequity, currently it creates an unfair situation where a party with a higher number of votes, a 55,000 remainder, does not get a seat, but an independent at 45 gets a seat. So that's what really we thought was a little problematic. Now, Chair, that's how the forfeiture calculation will work at the moment. It's based on removing the votes of the independent candidate who received more than one seat, and then repeating the calculation and awarding according to the electoral strength of the contestants, because that's really, that should be the spirit, that you've got to award seats on the strength of the electoral support of the various electoral contestants. Now, the second scenario, Chair, we're dealing with is the provincial calculation scenario with a vacancy happening during term. The one that I just dealt with is the forfeiture before the declaration of results. Here now, we are midterm. There's a vacancy that happens. We've taken the example of the Western Cape. Again, applying through the applying group, your quota of votes per seat is 47,843. Again, independent 5 in that calculation causes a vacancy. And it's midterm, we do a recalculation, a vacancy calculation. You will see that independent 5's votes are excluded in the in this, because that's the decision of the committee. And the new formula is 47,096. And that vote now goes to party 5. Sorry, that seat goes to party 5. And because of the residual votes, in other words, the surplus votes they have at 23,000. So the logic of the thing is that the seat will go to the party with the highest residual number of votes. In other words, you're giving effect to the choice of the voter, because you've got to give it to the party with the greatest number of residual votes that have not been used, as it were. So, and that follows the logic of an election. An election is a numerical contest. And that's how the vacancy calculation will work. So, Chair, that's really the calculations and what the Schedule 1A entails. This is the illustration of how it will work. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO. Mr. Salmon, can you hear me?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I wanted just to test that. Thanks very much, colleagues, for the presentation on the A-list on specific issues we have considered and the refresh of the calculation by the IEC. We appreciate that you have also taken that decision to extensively clarify some of the unclear issues which members raised. We are going to then invite members to consider the A-list, and if there's clarity that need to be sought, we'll then allow members to raise, and we adopt, we propose for the adoption of the A-list. Then we allow the second process to get in. I'll invite Honorable Pile, Honorable Mogale, Honorable Ruos, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Lukwase, and Honorable Modise. I've noted that Honorable Molekwa, she's attending a joint sitting currently and oversight, but she has logged in. And Honorable Ramulo Beng, and Honorable Thomas Bongane. So those who I've invited and those have indicated network challenges. So can I, in that order, Honorable Pillay?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, let me first appreciate the IEC for the refresher and going through the seat calculations, quotas, etc. And I think that it just refreshes our memory and also clarifies some of the concerns that we may have been raising in terms of how those seats are allocated. Chair, I want to say that I'm happy with all the items on the A list and also want for us to consider adopting it. There's just one item on clause four, and I went back to the bill just to be sure. It says, item three, a completed prescribed form confirming that the candidate has submitted in the prescribed manner, the names, ID, et cetera. And I'm just thinking that in respect of us defining candidate at the beginning of that document, referring to a candidate as the candidate of a party and an independent candidate, that I propose that the word independent has to be included before candidate. It may have been an oversight because I went to the bill and the bill actually reflects independent candidate. But in this document that was presented to us now in terms of the A list, I think they may have omitted the word independent. Apart from that, Chair, I'm happy with all other items on the A list and the changes that we've considered. And I think that it's a process that we have really given much time to. And I want to move for the adoption of that.
Thank you, Honorable Pillay, for your contributions. Honorable Mo.
Chairperson, can you hear me, Chair? Hello? Hello, Chairperson?
Hello? Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah, I'm sure maybe the Chairperson has got a problem with the network.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I want to go to clause four of the A list and just to deal with the two issues here that we have consistently pointed out as the EFF in this committee. Okay. Clause four, I think it's number three. Yes, number three, that deals with the quota, the number of signatures that an independent candidate has to submit to contest an election. We are of a different view on this one, Chairperson. And we still maintain that that figure should, electoral fact, not be less than 20,000. That's, and in fact, that's the figure that we should be putting there in our view. The number of signatures that must be submitted by an independent who has to stand. Because we have moved from the previous proposal of 30%, and now we are even going down even lower. Who knows, we might even go down to 10% in the next stage when it goes to the NCOP or in parliament. So we are aware of the view that that percentage must actually be high. In fact, we must put a fixed amount there of no less than 20,000. And then on the issue of the deposits, I just need some clarity here. I think it's point eight. It says the amount to be deposited by an independent candidate contesting an election of a provincial legislature must be less than the amount for contesting an election of the National Assembly. And such deposit may also be different to the deposits paid by registered parties. Why must there be a difference between what the independent pays as a deposit and what a political parties pay as deposit when we are all contesting for the same thing. Because to me, it seems like we are lowering the bar here for independent candidates to be able to enter into the space. And this is actually problematic in my view. So our view here as the EFF chairman is that the amount paid by political parties and independents must be the same across the board. There must be no differentiation between an independent candidate and a political party, because we are all contesting for the same thing. If a person decides to stand as an independent, it's their choice. If a person decides to contest via a political party, it's their choice as part of a democratic system. But lowering the scales for others to be able to jump, and it's problematic for me, Chairman. So we are not going to support this in its current form as the EFF. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Your contribution, Honorable Ruas.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to all the presenters. Chairperson, first of all, on the A list and just the amendments that have been presented today, I think that they look fine, Chairperson. But the DA still opposes the A list as a whole. I think the two major concerns are the potential lack of presiding officers, not presiding officers, of party agents, which is a major risk to the integrity of an election. We have a big problem with that, Chairperson. And then secondly, I think from the IEC presentation, it's clear that they didn't really engage with the input of Mr. Atkins, because what you will see with the figures there is very low numbers for the independents, and it paints a different picture. I thought it was important to consider a few different scenarios and that we satisfy ourselves that the IEC has gone through this, looked at it from different angles, based on all the input that was given in that document. And to say, okay, yes, there are extreme examples, but those are really extreme and few and far between. But I think, Chairperson, the big risk, and as we said before, when we originally looked at the A list, is really the recalculation after the election, once you're filling a vacancy. And to our understanding, it creates a scenario where almost on every occasion, when you do that recalculation to fill the vacancy of somebody that's gone and you take away all the additional votes on that, that seat almost always goes to the largest political party or a very large political party. And so, Chairperson, it's certainly while we understand that it's impossible to get an absolutely perfectly proportional system, that does create a risk. If you have a seat allocation system and you recalculate when there is a vacancy formed after the election down the line, and the odds are, as pointed out by the public participation input, that that the largest political party would get that seat. So I think, Chairperson, for those two main reasons, we would then oppose the A-list as a whole. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. Thank you, Honorable Ross, for your contributions. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation that we presented right in before us today. I have been largely covered by Honorable Ross. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile, for your contribution. Honorable Lhoase.
Thank you very much, Comrade. I think it's only fair of all the delivery in all the meetings of the portfolio meetings that we had. And maybe it would only be fair that we adopt with the ratification of all the omissions that were stated by Honorable Pile. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khwase. Honorable Modisemta.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me take this opportunity and appreciate all the presenters and the presentations that we would have received today. Chair, I think all three presentations represent the views that we would have solicited from the public as the portfolio committee during our public hearings, from the written submissions that the public would have also written and forwarded to us, and the extensive deliberations that the committee would have then embarked on the past few months. Chair, I do not want to waste more time, but I would want to second the member who would have proposed that we adopt the A list with the amendments and the omissions that have been highlighted in the presentations, Chair. The issues that were raised and that are presented are satisfying, Chair, and we are happy as a committee. I then second the adoption of the A list. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chairperson. Hello, Chairperson.
I think he has connection issues, Braid. Maybe whilst he's still trying to sort himself because he's still on the line, but clearly his connection is very bad. Can we then get, I think I was the last speaker. Can we then proceed? Can we get responses from the IEC and the other presenters on the issues that members would have sought clarity on or asked questions on?
Hello, Mam Disa.
Okay, the chair has indicated that he's reconnecting. Maybe in the meantime, whilst we are still waiting for him, can we then get responses from the few issues that members would have sought clarity on?
Maybe if we can start with the state law advisors and the legal service in regard to the issue of adding that word independent.
If we there's can any other, yeah. Can we start with the state legal advisors?
Mr. Salmon.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have no objection in inserting the word independent in front of candidate because the heading indicates that it does in fact speak to independent candidates. So we will insert that word to qualify that the candidate is in fact independent candidates. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Are you see? Oh, thank you, Chair. You are back. All right.
Chairperson?
Yes, proceed. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Chairperson, I don't think that there was a specific question addressed to the Commission. I think that the comment that was made is unfortunate in the sense that I think that the Commission has gone into a great deal of detail and in terms of the submissions that have been presented. But I think what the CEO was simply presenting to the committee is that there are choices that have to be made, and to some extent those choices have been made by the committee, and to some extent those choices are embedded in the way in which the calculations are made. With having said that, we have indicated what the current calculations provide for and the extent to which those current calculations could provide for equitable treatment of both independents and political party candidates on the one hand, but also where there could be some
some implications that possibly undermine that equity of calculation in favor of independence. And that's a decision that that committee has made to date and needs to reflect on, not just in the portfolio committee, but also in the select committee. At this stage, we haven't received a clear alternative from any submission with regard to calculations. And so I don't think that there is a direct question, but I'll hand back to the CEO to see if he's picked something up that I've missed. CEO, through you, Chairperson, if that's in order. CEO?
Yeah, CEO, if there's any other matter.
No, Chair, I think the only issue really is that the figures that we use in these calculations are actual figures from 2019 elections. So they've not been sanitized in any way. They are real. And as we indicated, the scenarios that Dr. Atkins provided are extreme and have never obtained in the past quarter of a century. But we're not saying that they may never obtain in future. We just don't know what the probability of them occurring is. And really, that's where we are. We don't know what the probability is. And you've got to do certain simulations to make a determination on a scientific basis. That's all, Chairperson.
Thanks very much. I'm not sure whether the legal service you've made your input, Mr. Njikela.
We have no further input to make. We are covered by what the state law advisor has just said. Except okay. To say, Chair, what we have tried to do as the legal team is to incorporate in the A list the decisions of the committee. And that's the bare minimum that we can do in as far as the A list is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, colleagues, members. The committee has considered to adopt the A list with issues that were raised by members that they could not able to support the A-list on specific issues that they've raised and that have ensued in the deliberations, and members have agreed. We've this far have managed to bring closer to the process, and the adoption of the A-list today give an indication of the process forward. I want to thank all of you and the state law advisors, the Parliamentary Legal Service, the IEC, and the DHA Council for having spent time since the amendment bill was referred to the portfolio committee. Therefore, that reflects the adoption of the A-list as presented, reflects the deliberation and submissions which were submitted by political parties, ourselves as members, so individuals and NGOs, and that stands as the reflection of our deliberations as members have reflected. Can I then indicate, Mr. Matonsi, if there's any other matter that we must take forward from this process, Mr. Matonsi or Mr. Salmon?
Once the A-list has been adopted, it will be sent to the printers to develop the B bill that they will have to consider next week, Chairperson.
Okay. Is there any other matter that you want to brief the committee? Mr. Salmon?
Nothing for my side, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, I think Mr. Matuti. Okay. We did not hear you, Mr. Matonzi, but I know that there's a joint committee meeting over the weekend with Home Affairs, Police and Minerals on the matter related to illegal mining and undocumented foreign nationals. And on Tuesday, we're meeting to consider the Auditor General's report on the performance of the IEC, Home Affairs and Government Printing Works, and the report of these institutions. So we'll be guided by the information Mr. Matonzi will circulate to members. Thanks very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thanks, Chair.